Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Elora Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nevalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Cuin de Greymont, a paladin from Flarben in the province of Gavinny.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Hi, I'm Rick, and I play Otto, a spring sage from Hanweir, sworn to the land, wandering the plain and setting wrongs to right with his ursine companion, Bojo.
Last week, Yasmin released a detailed recap of our companions, their missive, and the journey so far. It has been amazing for us as a crew, and equally so that you have joined us each week to share in the events that have unfolded. So, let us not dally and dispense with any further faffing, and hop on board the wagon with our heroes as they roll steadily southwards away from Stagwick and in to Season 2. Q, episode 119. At the end of episode 118, after obtaining answers to an age-old fable, the team's time to depart had arrived. The boys made the visit to Eliza, the blacksmith, a priority, and were pleased as punch with her chic and clever craftsmanship. Laura traipsed over to see Jane, Stagwick's seamstress, to provide payment and pick up a beautiful blue dress that she had commissioned for Ivona, followed by the attainment of an appropriately sized hand-drawn cart for her brother Brady. These were both intended as personal gifts that she wanted to give. As afternoon approached, Cuin acquired a plethora of pre-ordered culinary delights from Buck's Bakes, and Orland was now overflowing with pies, pasties, and some particularly tasty sweet treats. Leaving Stagwick was bittersweet, and with everyone gathered at the gates, breaking the bonds of their newly forged friendships was sad. But if they failed to succeed in their mission set by Micaeus, Innistrad would, in all likelihood, go to hell in a handcart as it fell prey to its dark and demonic planar influences. Episode 119, Devious Doors.
You have left the town of Stagwick, proceeding forth out of the one gate, this northern gate in the wall. You have the horses hitched up to the wagon, and Bojo the bear trailing behind. From this point onwards, you don't really have any designated roads. There are no roads that go down to your destination, which is Jenwick's Tower. There are rough tracks, but nothing kind of well worn in. This obviously is a not very well travelled route. So, Ogvar, you're driving the carriage. Could you make me a couple, let's say three, survival checks for me?
Okie dokie.
Or carriage driving checks, whichever one you have got.
Is that a thing?
Possibly not. I might have made that up.
We'll just go survival.
Pretty sure there is a vehicle check somewhere.
Animal handling, perhaps?
It was mine, yeah, I think. Water-based vehicles.
Yeah, there are vehicle checks. They do exist.
I don't think Ogvar has them.
No.
Can we just go survival then?
Yeah, just survival, please.
Okay, first one. It's going to be a 19 all in, 14 and a 5.
Okay.
And then
8 and 14 are 22.
Nice, well done.
And then 16, which is a 14 and a 2.
14, 2. Okay. Otto, what spells did you cast when you left the town?
So, at the start of the day, there's a few things that I would have cast to prepare for the day. So, Otto will have started by casting a spell called Lay of the Land, which gives him a fairly good understanding of the terrain within about 50 miles or so. He casts a spell he's picked up some time ago called Snowshoes, both on himself and on Bojo, which allows us to travel a little bit faster during the day. He's glowing again, that luminous armour that taxes him somewhat when the spell ends. And as a just in case, he's got Greater Magic Fang on Bojo. And on the whole party, there'll also be a spell called Wind at Back, which is designed to double all of our overland movement for up to 12 hours, just to mean that we can get on a bit quicker.
Okay, nice. That's an amazing set of spells there. Okay, so Ogvar, with those rolls, you would have had... you've got enough knowledge, you've got enough capability to figure out the correct direction to take the wagon in. So you're now travelling more of a northeastern direction, dropping lower down Nephalia, as well as moving towards the outmost edge, kind of coming around this curve down towards this large spur of land which seems to hold only Jenrig's tower. So you travel this, so did I say northeast?
Yes.
I meant southeast.
Yeah.
Southeast, sorry. So you travel this southeastern direction, which actually for you, you're able to kind of figure out that the best path to take is actually through this logging path. So you pass the entrance to Stonewell Hall, and everyone can roll me a... What can we do? I want you all to roll me a wisdom check, please. Just straight wisdom.
Great. My favourite. That's a 17 minus 1, so that's a 16 for Alora.
Nice.
That's a 2 plus 1, that's 3.
Oh, there's always one. Opa?
I did well. I did a nat 20.
Ooh. Hey!
There we go.
And
there we go. Otto had a 13 plus 5 for 18.
18, nice. Okay, so all of you, with the exception for Kewin, who is probably doing his usual Kewin thing on the back of the wagon or the front of the wagon, swinging his legs, humming. Yep. As you pass the entrance to this hall, you obviously take a chance to look at it in the daylight. And it's not a bright day. It was perhaps sunny when you left, but the clouds have slowly covered over, and it's kind of turned into this, again, very atypical grey day. But with the light levels now having risen during the day, you can see a lot more of this house. But as you all pass, with the exception of Kewin, and you look, you all get this feeling, this lightness. Before, when you entered into this house, when you were on the grounds, it felt quite heavy, quite foreboding. But you can almost all sense this kind of, this palpable sense of relief and lightness, as if a dark cloud has lifted from over the site. The stonework doesn't look a grim grey anymore. It looks to be quite a light coloured stone in this morning light. It looks quite light. And just generally, looking at it, everything looks a lot better. So, travelling in this southeasterly direction, you very quickly lose this very well-cut logging path, and it turns more into quite rocky, there's lots of roots in the way, and, you know, the travel is slowed a bit because you've got to take into account this different terrain. Nevertheless, you make good progress. And for the next 3 days, you gradually make your way down to the southernmost tip of Nephalia. The terrain, as you passed, you've passed out this section of forest, this where this logging was happening up by Stagwick. You don't really see much else in terms of forest. It's all quite flat, quite barren. You see swampy parts, which you obviously avoid with the carriage, not wanting to risk getting stuck in the mud. But it's quite desolate and quite lonely. As you travel, you get the sea winds pushing in from offshore, which leave a tang of salt in the air, and you can hear the cries of gulls as they circle overhead. Your days of travel pass quite quickly, quite quietly. Is there anything that anybody wants to do over these 3 days? Otto, I'm assuming you're going to be recasting your spells every morning.
Yeah, just to make sure that we are travelling as fast as we can, minimise any dangers from travel.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Allura would also be casting some daily spells as well. So she would probably cast False Life, which she would have to roll for if it became necessary to do so, in order to determine what extra she got. And she would probably cast Mage Armour on herself as well for 8 hours of the day. Either one of those spells, both of them would affect her.
Okay, nice. Kieran, is there anything you're doing in particular?
Apart from sharpening my sword, so going tumpty 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 tum tumpty tumpty tum.
Oh, and also, Allura would have bathed her eye each day as well.
Yep, thank you. Kieran, was there anything else you were doing?
No.
Okay. You're not going to change
Swinging
tune up?
His legs.
Not going to change tune up, think of a new one?
Da 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 da.
Dear. Oh dear.
Okay, second day, it rains. Ogvar. Is there anything in particular you are doing during the travel down?
Probably just besides driving wagon, probably just a little bit of work with Murdoch, letting him fly out again, and a bit more sort of using him to hone his tracking skills, keeping an eye on the road, where we're going, which way to go, and sort of things like that. That's tied in with a survival skill.
Yeah, nice. And I think at this point we can say that Murdoch is now fully trained.
Mm. Nice.
Okay.
That's all good.
Yes, Otto.
So, obviously the spells we're doing each day, he's going to spend each day during travel, try and spend a day with each of them, maybe leaving Allura till last. Just trying
Probably
to get
safe.
To know these people a little bit better. Ways to get to know the people you're travelling with a little bit. The only other thing that's perhaps a little bit strange in his routine is because of the luminous armour saps his strength at the point it dissipates. He'll also be casting a spell at time for rest, which will essentially double his healing for the evening, which gets rid of the side effects of that.
Nice, sounds great. So, over the 3 days, is there anything in particular you want to talk about with each of the other characters, with Ogvar, Kieran, Allura? Or is it just a more of a general kind of get to know you and you know, introduce Bojo and get everyone used to Bojo?
Oh, there's definitely things he's very curious about. He wants to know what this magic hat is that Allura's wearing, because it must be magical, because there's no other reason someone would choose to wear such a thing.
Okay.
He's very curious about Murdoch, and this crow that's obviously so intelligent. And the other thing, with all respect to Kewin, actually he's more interested in the bag. He's seen this bag once and seen it's now got a skirt on it. And Otto's going to be very, very curious what the story is behind this bag.
Okay. Any response to those? Perhaps start with Allura.
I think Allura would be... I think she'd be quite amused. I think she would share the story behind the hat. But she wouldn't confirm or deny whether it was magical. She would say to him that her parents had bought it for her. Not bought it, sorry. Her parents are milliners, and they made this hat for her for when she left home. It was a family tradition. But she's going to avoid confirming or denying whether there's anything magical about her hat. Apart from the Ion Stone, which is circling the hat, which is clearly magical, and it's a separate thing of its own. I think that's all she'd do. She would probably tell him a little bit about her background and working for Casper. But other than that, there isn't much to tell. Or she would think there isn't too much to tell.
Okay, Cumin.
He wasn't really interested in me. He was interested in Orland.
Oh no, but I imagine he'd be asking you about Orland.
Oh yes.
Yes, he's a bag we acquired from where was it now? I think Esther. Yes, that's right, Esther. Apparently, back in Drunel. Yes, he can be a bit prickly, but Alora used to look after him, but they had a bit of a falling out. And seeing how Ogvar looks after him, i.e., you know, the bag butter, and it was his idea to get the chain mail to guard, you know, and protect Orland. Although, to be fair, Alora did pick it. Those gems are Alora's to put on, and he's a very happy chappy, as long as you don't upset him, and then he's not very nice.
I think Otto's going to be chuckling through most of that description. So does it always give you back what it eats?
Yes. Sometimes, yeah. I mean, the poor thing, sometimes he has stuff in it that he doesn't want. Like when we first got it, I seem to recall some dirty wellies and some dirty pants. We had great fun with those. Me and Ogvar did a bit of welly wanging with the wellies. I believe Ogvar did something to the pants. I think he flicked them over the edge or something. Somewhere down there, somebody's going to have a pair of dirty undergarments probably on their roof. I think he's glad that the people who had him before. I think we treat him with a bit more respect.
Well, Otto, I think that Kieran's perhaps missed a little bit out there. I mean, Esther did have Orland originally, but Orland came to us via Esther's grandson, who came over to take her place at the church in Drunau. And the underpants were fired off the edge of the tower walls and stuff. It's on a promontory in Drunau. They kind of got fired off the promontory. Anyway, happier times.
Does he eat things that he likes to eat? Are there things that he likes to eat? I have some... I can grow some berries if he'd like some.
I don't think he actually eats. He's sentient. Actually devour and sustain. I don't think he does that. It's sentient. He just takes.
Looks
after things.
He's kind of special, isn't he? He sees, but he doesn't have eyes. We haven't quite worked that out. And you just don't question him over these things. You just go with the flow.
Curious. Perhaps I can.
tempt him with some other things another time. Maybe when we're not being jostled around on this wagon.
So, Ogvar, you were questioned about your bird.
Me bird?
Your bird. I was going to say crow, but then I thought raven, and then I thought I'll just go bird, it's safe, isn't it?
this is Murdoch. He's my raven. He's been with me a little while now. He found me, I suppose, would be the best way to explain it. He just I woke up one morning and there he was. He wasn't there as such. He was outside the window and he wanted to come inside, so I let him in and haven't really parted ways since.
Yeah, that keeps happening to you, doesn't it, Orgval? Things what? Finding you.
What?
People like, finding you.
What?
Must be some kind of magnetism that we don't know.
Who else has found me?
Well,
Otto's here, isn't he?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course, what you meant, somebody else. I thought I was going to go down a different path.
Well, thank you for sharing a little.
Yes. Oh, yes, it's he's coming along quite nicely. He's learning some little tricks and he's proving useful in navigating. Yeah, I can only do so much, I can only see so far, but with him scouting ahead, I'm getting quite good at finding my way around now.
Can you talk with him?
To an extent, yes. Not have a full conversation, but yes, we get a bit of correspondence going, as it were. He can answer questions, and he hasn't asked me any yet, but he's very helpful and very amenable to it.
Well, should you have need of understanding him greater, I can use my magic to help in that regard. Just let me know.
But, that'd be very interesting. I might well take you up in that offer. I think at this sort of like Murdoch would probably, as we're talking, I assume Bojo is nearby, so I might land on Bojo's back and just have a little bit of a lift for a little bit. So I'll just come in and like listen to the conversation going on.
I can imagine Bojo very briefly standing there cross-eyed trying to see the bird on his head before just shrugging and carrying on.
Okay.
Laura will be sitting on the carriage. She would have been reading the book that Esther had given her by Iram Bhatti. She would have been studying the book over the few days of travel. So she's kind of got the book on her lap and she kind of opens it and reads bits of it and then closes it for a while. And that's what she's doing while everyone's talking.
Okay. So over your 3 days of travel, obviously you'll be having two overnight stops. Are you wanting to use your rations or are you wanting to do a bit of hunting?
If you don't fancy hunting and you don't mind just having a little fruit, I can provide some berries. They're quite nourishing, though perhaps your stomach won't feel too full.
Well, we have got a bit of food.
Yes, we have. I think we probably Laura would either look to rations or look to supplies and maybe look to queuing.
Yes, have some, well, depends what everybody would like, really. We've got meat pies, sausage rolls, cream pastries, various muffins, breads, tarts, sweet, savoury pastries.
I think over the 3 days, Allura would have had just various stuff from that selection.
Yeah, Otto would eat nothing.
It depends on, you know, if anybody goes hunting, we'll obviously make a stew and have some bread.
I think Ogvar would take up Otto's offer of some nuts and berries and things like that. It's, after a couple of days of pastries, he'd probably want something a bit tart to cut through the stodge.
Not sure how might have imagined it, but he's going to pull out a few seeds, whisper some sweet somethings to them, and they'll develop into these nice, rather large plants with a single large berry on the end of each sort of vine that comes out, and you'll end up with a small number of watermelons, which, oddly enough, will make for very nice goodberries. And I know Bojo would definitely come up and appreciate that he'd get his share at this point. It's one of his favourites.
Okay, yeah.
Ogvar will be quite impressed. Ooh, that's good. I did this once with a carrot.
Very good. You'll find them quite filling.
Okay, so over the 2 nights and 3 days, over the course of your meals, you're probably able to kind of scrummage up enough by hunting, getting stuff out of Orland, pastries, goodberries, you know, rations. Between the five of you, you're able to kind of get what you need. And you won't need to take anything off any rations. You'll be fine. So, on the third day, you are travelling again in this very bleak landscape. It's perhaps a more of a greyer day, and Ogvar, Otto, and Laura, you would all be able to tell from being in nature and being on the sea that there is a storm brewing in the distance on the horizon over the water. It's the winds are cold, they're quite cutting. The canvas laying over the hoops of this wagon, it snaps in the wind. The horses are probably a little spooky, a little bit fresh, and you can see Bojo's thick, heavy coat being ruffled by the wind, blown into little whirls. So you travel for probably half a day, and it is very much the same landscape, and you are very much getting bored of this landscape. It is scrubby, dry grass, and then more scrubby, dry grass, and then perhaps a little bit of marsh, and then, surprise, surprise, some more jubby, scrubby grass. It's very flat, and as you approach midday, you can all... Everyone make me a spot check.
Okay.
Oh dear. That's a 4 plus 5, which is a 9 for Alora.
Okay, blind.
That's a 16 plus 5, 21 for Kewin.
Nice.
11 plus 11, 22.
Nice.
And Otto has got a 13 plus 16 for 29.
29, wow. Look at that. Okay, so everyone with the exception of Alora. Alora, who's possibly hunkering down in the back of the carriage. You can all start to see, in the distance, dropping away as the land begins to go downhill, you can all see a large grey smudge that, as you progress on through the afternoon, approaching 1 o'clock, resolves itself into what has to be the most eclectic-looking tower you have all ever laid your eyes on. Just from this distance, you can tell that this tower is pretty darn big. You'd say from this point it's probably about 7 stories tall, with a large roof on top as well. And there is not a single straight line involved in this tower's construction. It is, you can tell, the fact that you're seeing it from this distance, you can tell that this is a large tower. But the different layers are different floors, are all kind of at different angles. The ground floor leans to the left slightly, the first floor leans to the right. It seems to have been held upright simply by counteracting forces, gravity, and quite possibly magic. And the roof on this thing, it is a traditional kind of Disney-esque tall...
Oh, a conical tower, lovely.
Traditional Disney-esque tower, made of what you would assume is kind of blue shingles. It looks kind of bluer than the grey of this tower, and it is ridiculously tall. It starts off at the edge and it comes up in a cone shape and then dips and shoots upwards into the sky at a ridiculously sharp angle, leaving what appears to be like a rod of some kind poking up into the air. It is possibly the strangest construction that any of you have ever seen. Otto, you would have been more used to the more kind of quaint, rustic, granary region-based buildings of Hanweir. These kind of low squat, well, not squat, but low buildings, long, made of wooden beams and perhaps even wattle and daub in some cases. These very traditional, old, kind of picturesque, almost Germanic-style buildings. Kewin, you'd have been used to the kind of the clean cut lines and white stones and heavy marbles of Brabant. That's what I'm going for. These kind of clean lines, thick, strong architecture which screams of power, wealth and opulence. Elora, being a bit more travelled than perhaps the rest, you'd be used to the kind of the rundown slums, shanty buildings of the coastal ports, as well as this mix of more grand architecture and kind of plain brick and stone houses that are made for functional reasons rather than beauty. And Ogvar, this would be probably the most alien thing to you, being a man of the woods coming from Kessig, in these small isolated villages where, yes, the buildings are stone, but they're dark stone, they're low set, they've got overhanging eaves and long sliding roofs made of, you know, wood or even from kind of thatch, almost thatch from the trees. You're all very much used to different styles of buildings. And this one building, it's something that none of you have ever seen before. It is so bizarre and alien in its construction. So, as you approach ever closer, because you're assuming that this is the tower, it's the only building you've seen for days, as you get closer and closer and closer, you can see that the land narrows down, and you can actually see that you're travelling out onto this furthest jut of rock, the most eastern you can go in Innistrad. As you get closer, you can see more and more details of this building start to resolve themselves. You can see different sized lumps of stone, so one floor might be big square blocks, the next floor will be lots of small blocks stacked together higgledy-piggledy. Another floor, as you go up to perhaps the third or fourth floor, you'll see that it is this kind of almost standard brick layout, except that it's vertical rather than horizontal. It is a very odd looking building. You can see recesses cut out where windows are set in. You can see kind of sash windows, bay windows, these almost medieval kind of almost archer style windows. These very thin, narrow slits with kind of deep cut carved out stone. I mean, there was everything. You can see on the fifth floor there is a door which simply leads to nothing. Just a random doorway. Just in midair. You can see on the ground floor, you can see more kind of wooden constructions, almost kind of sheds, outhouses built around the base of the tower. It is just so incredibly alien. You can see parts of the building where there is a balcony. However, there is no way to get onto the balcony. There is no door, there is no window. It's just a balcony floating in midair. It is bizarre, and the more you look, the more you see, which just is so odd and nonsensical.
I'm assuming that Laura would see this as they drew closer.
You're all seeing this.
Right, okay. How far away is it?
So by this point, it's probably 3 o'clock, and you're probably, I don't know, maybe another hour's travel off from it.
Certainly it stands out a bit, doesn't it?
Oh, it is large. And, I mean, you're kind of assuming these are floors simply based on the different kind of designs and styles and angles. But these floors are easily kind of 15 foot in height, if not more.
Well, look, just look at this thing. Look at it. I know it's a ways off yet. I mean, but it seems to have... Well, there's some little structures around, but it's just... That's just incredible. I've never seen anything like it, have you?
Oh, no. It's From here, it looks quite an odd construction. Pa never built one like that.
It looks to me almost like someone's done a style, got bored, done a different style, got bored, done a different style, got bored. It's almost like an apprentice doing some work. He's got so far. Well, I've done that. I've mastered that part, and well, I'll do brick this way.
Well, it's got kind of cantilevered bits and odds and sods attached to it.
Why has it got a balcony?
I could just about make it out from here, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
But then again, if they were practicing.
Well, it's absolutely fascinating.
That's one word for it.
Presume this is the tower you're looking for.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be another one like this. I would say that this is definitely what we're looking for.
I suppose we'd better head towards it.
Can you pick up pace, Ogvar?
I can try. Give the horses a bit of a flick of the reins and see if they're willing.
Yeah, the horses definitely pick up pace. And as you travel downhill towards the tower, you obviously get closer and closer, and it looms larger and larger until you are stood stationary in its shadow. The day has darkened as it's gone on, and you can all tell. Laura, roll me a knowledge. Have you got like a knowledge sailing or a knowledge ocean, something like that?
Yeah, I've got knowledge nautical.
Yeah, roll me a knowledge nautical.
That's 7, a straight 7.
7, yeah, okay. You're not entirely sure, not actually standing on a boat. You're not exactly sure. If you were on a boat, you'd probably be able to tell a bit more because of the way the sea's moving and the roughness of the sea beneath your feet. However, you would say that this storm is perhaps only a couple of hours off now. It looks dark and dirty, to the point where the horizon is almost kind of this coal black.
Would she look at it and think that it's just a storm, or more like a nebelgast blowing in that she might have seen before?
Roll me a knowledge arcana? Have you got an arcana check?
Roll
me one of those.
Okay, that's an 11 plus 8, so that's a 19.
Yeah, no. You are not entirely sure if it is. It literally looks like someone has taken, like some kind of massive being has taken a charcoal smudged thumb and rubbed it across the sky in this arc. It is black as coal over the sea, gradually petering out above you. It looks like it's rolling in. You wouldn't think it is a nebelgast.
I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but that sky is grim. We are in for a hell of a storm, because I swear that's coming this way. I don't think it's like the storm that we saw in Dranau, but that's going to get real wet, real blowy, real quick. We probably need to get the horses in somewhere and secure the wagon and the goods, and I think we'd better try and... How do you get into this place? I think...
Is there a main door?
I don't know. Can we do a search check for a door?
Yeah, roll me a search check, everyone.
What a door that's on the floor, that is.
Not 5 stories up.
Yeah. Search check. It's a 13 all in for Laura.
That's an 18 all in. That's an 18 plus 0.
Yeah, same
here, nice
13
one.
Plus
0. 13 for Ogvar is 6 plus a 7.
And nice. Otto has a 4 plus a 3, just 7.
Okay. You all spend some time, you obviously dismount the carriage. The horses are fine, they're not going to run off. You all spend some time travelling around the outer edge of this building, looking for an entryway. You can see some windows lower down, however, looking through proves fruitless. You can't actually see anything through the windows.
How wide is this building? This is the big question.
As you walk around the building, you pace around, you can probably estimate that this building has a diameter of somewhere in the region of 50 foot.
That's huge.
It's large. I mean, looking up, you cannot see the top of the tower from where you're stood at the base. It is humongous. With roughly 15 foot per level, you know, up to the seventh floor of this tower, it's 105 foot. And then you've got this big conical roof on the top as well. This tower is massive. So you will spend some time pacing around the edge, looking for an entryway. You know, who had the highest score? Is that Otto?
No, not with the seven.
I had 18.
Okay, Kewin.
Yeah.
As you come round, so you've practically done a full walk around of this building, and as you come back to just before where you started, you spot a door.
Is this just a wooden door?
It's a very generic looking door. It just appears to be a, you know, generic wooden door.
There's a door here. It's a pity I started going that direction, because it's just by where I started. If I'd have gone the other way, I'd have found it earlier.
Laura's just going to laugh.
Shall I give it a good old bang?
It's either that or we get wet.
There doesn't seem to be a bell pull or anything.
No ring doorbell. Yeah, sure, Kieran, give that a go. But don't bash it in, that would be rude.
I'll try to knock gently.
Okay.
More.
You knock on the door. You give it three smart raps, and as your final rap echoes, as you look at the door, all of you can see the words "Come in" appear inscribed upon the wood.
Oh, look at that! Look at this!
That wasn't there before I hit it.
Is there a door handle?
There's a door handle, yeah. There's a door handle.
Okay. Laura's going to place a hand on the door handle and tentatively turn the handle or the ring or whatever it is that's on the door and...
Opens outwards.
Push. Oh, you absolute shit. Well, it didn't say pull or push on the front, did it? Okay, so she's going to... It would be. It's going to be the opposite way to what you would expect.
Yeah.
Okay, Alora's going to try and push it, and it's not going to budge, so then she's going to go, huh? And she's going to try and pull the door open.
Make me a reflex save, please.
Oh, shit. Reflex. That's a 3 plus 8, so that's an 11.
Yep, no. Okay, so as you open the door, you are going to take... Okay, you got lucky. You're going to take 7 points of damage as you open the door, and two, but you can only describe them as boxing gloves, basically. Two boxing gloves. One comes out, smacks you directly in the face, and the second one comes out and smacks you directly in the gut. And for all those watching this happen, you can see that as Alora opens this door, there is nothing behind the door apart from stone wall exactly the same as the wall of this tower, from which these two gloves appear, promptly sock her in the face and gut, and then disappear along with the door.
Oof. Oh!
That was very rude.
She's gonna just kneel down, and she's a bit winded, and try and...
Are you okay there, Laura?
Did you see that?
Yes. I don't... this is why I always tend to go first. Because if they punch anything, they punch me. You know? Let's face
it. Do wrap up. I've had quite enough already. I don't need your bloody advice.
Okay. You can go first next time as well.
Everyone make me a spot check,
Laura's volunteered.
Who's that for?
Everyone, make me a spot check.
Oh, okay.
Laura's looking at the ground.
You're trying to. Your eyes are watering severely.
Yeah, yeah. At this point, can I just roll for this false life so that...
Yes.
Kewin's got 8, which is a roll of 3 plus 5.
Okay.
I've got another nat 20.
Hey, look at him. God. Racking them up today.
On fire.
Okay, so it's...
Yeah.
Otto.
Hopefully for something useful.
Otto rolled a 19 plus 16 for 35.
Nice.
Wow. Jeez.
Alora's just rolled a 10 on her false life, so it's 10 plus level, so that's an extra 19 temporary hit points, just to declare that now.
Yep.
And okay. She'll take the... How many points was it she took?
7.
Right, so she'll take that off those now.
Okay. So the spot check?
Spot check.
Oh, sorry. Spot check is going to be... bear with me.
No, the bear's by the carriage.
That's a 12 plus 5, which is 17.
Okay, nice. So, Otto and Ogvar, as this door shimmers and disappears, seemingly melting away into nothing, you both spot a slight movement out of the left-hand corners of your eyes, and you see a similar, differently designed door appear about 15 foot further along the wall to your left.
That wasn't there a moment ago, was it? Or am I imagining things?
Yes, that wasn't there before, and it's there now. That's quite odd.
I wonder if we're about to get punched again.
It's all right. Alora volunteers. Go on.
Okay. Fine. What's it? Is it another door, is it?
It's another door.
With a handle?
With a handle.
Right. She's going to cast Mage Hand.
Okay.
And she's going...
Nice.
And she's going to... firstly attempt to push, and if it won't push inwards, she's going to pull outwards.
Okay, yeah.
But it's the other way around this time.
It opens inwards.
I knew she was going to say that.
Yeah. Okay, so you use Mage Hand to push the door inwards. The door opens, and then promptly, where you would have been stood, from in the darkness, because there is no light within this doorway, a stick comes swishing out at head height, equipped with what appears to be a large stuffed leather gauntlet, which would have smacked into you at approximately face height. As this happens, the hand disappears back into the darkness, and the doorway again shimmers and fades and disappears. And again, all of you this time can see that another similar, yet slightly different design door appears 5 foot to your right.
I'm kind of seeing a pattern here.
Yes. How many times do you think we're going to have to do this?
Well,
that depends on how stupid we are.
I thought...
But you just keep going until you find the one that's right.
I don't think there's going to be a right one.
Yes.
I think we need to think outside the box here, or outside the tower, or wall, or door, or whatever.
I'm likewise becoming slightly fed up with this. Would you mind awfully if I opened a door for us?
By all means, yes.
Well, there is something I can do, but feel free to try first of all.
Oh, ladies first, of course, Lady Laura.
Well, no, if you have a better idea, I really don't mind.
Well, I have some powers over stone, as I do over other terrain. Perhaps I could reshape some of this, and I will cast Stone Shape, and try to create an opening directly in the wall of the tower to see what might lie beyond it. Literally moulding it, pushing it back like clay.
Okay. Yeah. So you lay... I assume you're going to lay a hand on the tower to do this.
Yes.
You put your hand on the tower and you start moulding a doorway. It's quite rough. It's not any in any shape, like artisan work. But you mould a hole. It is pitch black, but you've moulded a hole into the tower.
Does the light from my armour shine and illuminate any part of this hole?
It does not.
I'm not so sure about this, but I suppose if it's my idea, it's my turn to take one for the team. And
be careful, Otto.
Yes, I'd love to, but it's either this or the storm, right? And
well, quite true, yes, I suppose.
I shall stride in.
Okay.
Laura's going to turn to Otto. Okay, my friend, this time it's my turn. She's going to lay a hand on his shoulder and she is going to utter the words Resisto Malum, meaning resist harm, and she's going to cast resistance on him.
Okay, nice. So who is entering the pitch black hole?
Otto.
Is it just Otto?
I don't think Ogvar wouldn't want to see him going on his own.
No, obviously Kewin's used to go and watch it, but do you want to go with him or shall I? Ogvar?
I don't mind going with him.
Okay, then, you follow her.
Elora is also going to reach her hand out and she's going to put a hand onto Ogvar's shoulder saying, Resisto Malum.
Okay.
And cast resistance on him also.
Nice.
That's a new one, that feels strange.
Which will grant them a +1 resistance bonus on saves.
Tingly. Okay.
Tingles, yes. Like cool mint. Or if you're feeling extra adventurous, extra sauce original mint shower gel.
Ooh, that stings.
Oh, God. famous stuff, that
refreshing.
Is.
Refreshing. No, we're not sponsored.
Well...
Yet. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Okay. So, Ogvar and Otto, you walk into the darkness. It is dark. It is pitch black. You cannot see a thing. Even with your glowing self, Otto, all you can see is Ogvar, and all Ogvar can see is you. You walk for what must be about 5 minutes. And as you turn around to perhaps look and check if Ogvar's behind you, you can no longer see daylight. The darkness has closed up and swallowed you. Walking
can
a little
we still see each other?
You can see each other, yes.
Oh, that's good.
Walking a little further, you see a wooden door. This one inlaid with some iron kind of nails which are standing proud and lit by a single flickering wall sconce.
Well, what do you think? Are we about to get punched again?
Well, I am quite distrusting of doors now. We examined what was outside and I'm a little curious as to why we've walked so far in seemingly such on one floor, if you get my drift.
I do, and it feels quite uncomfortable with all this darkness around. I wonder where the others have gone.
Yes, can Ogvar try and light his... Oh no, he's got no lamp on, so we can't. Bad on it.
Okay.
Perhaps we knock this time?
Yes, I think it's better probably to announce your arrival than to just barge in, so yes.
Stand back. Wouldn't want to see you get hurt then. And
okay.
Otto will stride up to the door. Just...
Yeah, Ogvar will stand to the side of it.
Just briefly looking down to make sure that there's nothing that they can see, like a welcome mat or something like that. And assuming that there's no such luck, he'll just tentatively knock on this door.
Yeah, if you knock on the door, nothing happens.
Hello? Is there anyone in there?
Nothing happens.
I shall steel my gut, get ready to duck, and see if the door handle will turn, and try to open it.
Okay. The door handle turns, but no matter how you push or pull, it doesn't open. Both of you make me a spot check.
Okay.
It doesn't even rattle in the frame.
Is that another nat 20?
Oh my god.
I can't believe
brilliant.
That.
Brilliant, that's absolutely brilliant.
So glad I'm not running combat.
Yeah, they're all getting out of the way now.
Yeah. Okay, so nat 20 from Ogvar.
For what it's Otto? Worth, 10 plus 16, 26 total.
Okay, yeah. So as you kind of push and pull this door, I imagine there's a bit of back and forth where you're like, oh, it won't open. And Ogvar's like, oh, here, let me have a try. And goes, tries to open it, it won't open. As you look around and kind of take a step back to kind of, what's going on here? You notice a large handle at the bottom of the door, parallel to the ground.
Okay. Well,
do you think
like a handle, like a lever, or a
like a straight iron bar?
Okay. Well, I'm a little dubious of it, but it seems the only thing around here.
I suppose in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yes, yes.
What are those?
In for a copper, in for a gold.
I'll try the other handle.
Yeah, you grab the other handle, and pretty quickly you realise that this door slides upwards.
That's different. Like,
and
everything else.
The scene you see beyond that, as you open this door, you see daylight with green grass, scrubby grass, a cliff edge, and in the distant horizon, a storm rolling in.
I found the way out.
I do believe you found the door, yes.
Both of you, make me a reflex save, please.
Do we get a plus one? No, not your resistance doesn't help that, does it, Sam?
Resistance, it works on all saves.
Yep.
For 1 minute.
Ah, we've been walking for 5 minutes then, so it's...
Oh, good. They've been walking for 5 minutes?
Oh, yes.
Oh, bugger. Oh, no.
Okay.
So...
Ah, it's more like it. A 2 plus 11. 13.
13, okay.
I've rolled a 17 plus 5 plus another 1, so 23.
Okay. Otto, you're able to kind of dodge out the way as you hear this impending swoosh. Ogvar, you're less fortunate, as what appears to be a boot on a stick comes swinging down from the darkness, kicking you squarely up the backside, forcing you, sending you flying through the doorway, giving you 5 points of bludgeoning damage, as you both tumble into the daylight and hear the door slam behind you. As you begin to right yourself, you hear a tittering cackle, and turning around quickly, you see a face has appeared on the door. It cackles at you, and then promptly the entire door disappears.
I'm starting to feel unwelcome.
Yes, I thought we were making progress there, and it turns out we haven't really ended up much further forward, and if we'd just sat outside anyway.
Kieran and
the others gone.
Kieran and Allura, after Otto and Ogvar had disappeared into the darkness, you saw the wall begin to reform. A couple of minutes have passed. You now see a very, very ornate, ostentatious plaque appear on the wall, and words begin to scribe themselves. It reads, "To test your mettle, prove you're in fine fettle, retrieve the key from where the sea invades my gaping maw." And underneath is an arrow pointing in a southerly direction.
Kieran? There's, you noticed this plaque that's appeared?
Yes.
Have you read it? It says, "To test your mettle, prove you're in fine fettle, retrieve the key from where the sea invades my gaping maw." And there's an arrow, look.
Yeah, going that way. I'd say I've got to go and find a key. And by the look of it, gaping maw. Maw. That usually refers to a mouth. I wonder if there's a cave or something down.
That is quite possible. I mean, we are pretty much at the southernmost tip now. Alora looks back. Is there a door visible in the wall again?
No.
Well, okay, so we can't see a door, but a key has got to go into a door. Well, it's got to go into somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe until we got the key.
Yeah, maybe.
Or the actual entrance, is it more? We won't find.
Well, hang on a minute. They went in without a key.
Yes, but they, I don't know where they are, though.
Exactly. Well, they went in.
Yes, but it's gone.
What's gone?
The hole's gone, didn't it? Didn't you say the hole had disappeared?
Well, yeah, yes. I know, but then so have they. But the hole's gone, they've gone in.
But do you know the spell?
I have a spell that may do that, yes, but...
Or shall I just go and possibly find the key?
Ogvar and Otto, I'm assuming you're probably going to have made your way back round to where you left Kewin and Adora and Esther, who is quite happily just minding her own business. She's probably still sat in the wagon doing a bit of patchwork, a bit of darning, letting you youngsters figure out the problem. So you round the corner into this conversation between Kewin and Alora.
As our heroes headed away from Stagwick on the next leg of their journey, they made a beeline towards the Wizard's Tower at the southernmost tip of Nephalia. The 3-day trip was for once tranquil and trouble-free. Otto engaged each of his new companions with meaningful conversation and light-hearted chit-chat, and their much-deserved downtime allowed for some personal tasks to be observed. The team were hoping that they would receive a warm welcome from the wizard Jenrik, and some important insight to help them tackle their task of cracking the coded notes that Kewin carried on behalf of the church. Eventually, they arrived at their destination to find a bizarre building of impossible proportions and unique qualities, the angles and articulation of which defied gravity and would likely leave an architect agog. Looking for a likely entrance, of which there were apparently none, what they instead discovered was a whole host of hocus-pocus designed to deter the most determined of cold callers. After a stone-shaped spell was delivered by the Spring Sage, Ogvar and Otto were able to breach the walls, gaining entrance. Or so they thought. This, however, was short-sighted, and as a boot to the buttocks promptly placed them pretty much back at the beginning of their problem, the back door slammed firmly shut and winked out of existence. Arcing around what might possibly be considered as the front facade, although by this point in the farcical proceedings, nobody could be perfectly sure, saw Kewin and Alora pondering over a puzzle on a plaque that had popped into view. All in all, gaining an audience with Jenrik was indeed proving to be a very aggravating affair.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Having you as a listener means everything to us. So, whichever streaming service you choose to listen to us with, please give us a like, subscribe, and follow. We would love for you to join us on our Facebook or Twitter page, where you can catch up with all of our latest news. While you're waiting for the next episode of Secrets of the Silver City, why not pop over to our website, where you can read all of the information about this campaign, from backstories to setting. All of the links are in the bio of this episode. Join us again next week for the next instalment. Thank you for listening. Thank you.